This is an ABC podcast.
It's time for kickoff. Welcome to NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. Insights, analysis, and all you need to know in the NRL on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Yes, a very good evening to you, and thanks for tuning in to NRL Monday. I'm Andrew Moore, very much looking forward to the next hour. Always great to have Ruwan Sims on deck, and Ru will join me in the studio for the second half of the show. I'll speak with Cronulla Sutherland captain Blake Brayley. Is there any team in better form than the Sharks right now? Not just winning games, but they seem to be playing in a much more upbeat tempo and convincing fashion than I can recall in the Craig Fitzgibbon era. We'll be interested to learn what Blake thinks about that. But gee, they were good yesterday. They pumped Manly Warringah 48-12 at Brookvale, running in 8-2. And for mine, I think the Sharks are the form team in the comp. Top of the table, although beating Parramatta back on Thursday night, Penrith is a long way from its best. And the Panthers, I think, have been like that for a few weeks now. The Roosters keep winning, but they're not quite at their best either, which is a great sign, by the way. While the Warriors have been top two pretty much all season, they're now third, and they were way off the pace against Canterbury Bankstown on Saturday night at Stadium Australia. I think probably their worst performance of the year, but they only lost 18-6. Canberra all of a sudden has won four games in a row. I wasn't even going to mention the West Tigers, who have lost six in a row, out of respect to you Tiger supporters. But look, I have no idea whether Benji Marshall is good at dealing with players or not. I have no idea about what's going through Adam Dewey's mind. His actions today differ greatly from what I was told he was talking about on the weekend. And I have no idea whether those running the club have a clue or not. I know the chairman, Barry O'Farrell, he's a great person. He's very smart. He loves the club. But nothing there works. Now, we were told rather vehemently, I have to tell you, on the weekend, that Adam Dewey was going to march into the club's office with his manager this morning and ask for, if not demand, a release. He could never play for Benji Marshall again. But he didn't do that. The new Tigers chief executive, Sean Millenkamp, made this 21-second statement today. This is what he said.
We're here today to just confirm that Benji Marshall, Pat Richards, myself have met with Adam Dewey and his agent. It was a very positive and productive meeting. Adam will be at training tomorrow, which is a very good sign. And what's really important is that what is said in that room stays in that room. That's important for us as a club. We're all doing what's best for the club. We've got no further comment. Thank you.
So very little detail coming through. And the old, what happened in the room stays in the room. Well, there'll be a first time for everything. But no request for a release. That's what we know. And he's back at training tomorrow. So who knows? But what we do know is that the Tigers' performance on the field has become pathetic. Nowhere near acceptable for their patient and their excitable fan base. And this year, for the first time in forever, there was promise. A trip to Leichhardt or Campbelltown was a memorable experience. The crowd was so pumped and engaged and loud, and the players were responding with some exhilarating play. Boy, doesn't that seem a long time ago? Because now it is lifeless, it's pathetic, it's hopeless, and there's still 6 weeks left of the season. Your calls are welcome on 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920 222. NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Local Radio. It is 21-7.
Be part of NRL Monday.
Call 1300 361 700.
You're with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Coming up will be Cronulla Sutherland hooker and captain Blake Brayley. Hasn't he had a great year? So I look forward to catching up with Blake, one of the good guys in rugby league as well. And I'm legitimately excited to drive to Mudgee on Saturday morning because you have to love it when the NRL heads to regional areas. And thank goodness for Penrith, because these days not many clubs seem to give a damn about that sort of thing. Regional games are becoming close to extinct because in part the NRL's move in recent years to play Magic Round, of course, in Brisbane, and the last 3 years games in Las Vegas to start the season. So clubs have become very wary of giving up too many home games for season ticket holders and members, and I get that. But for the greater good of the game, something has to change, does it not? People in the upper echelons of the game can't pretend to be interested in and care about bush footy, but then continually play less and less games in those regional areas. It was only a few years ago that we were heading off to Dubbo and Wagga Wagga and Tamworth in New South Wales and Cairns. I remember flying there several times with Matt Elliott to Cairns to cover a game. That hasn't happened for a while. Darwin, that continues, thankfully. Bundaberg in Queensland. A while ago, we had footy in Mackay. The ownership Penrith has taken in Bathurst and the greater Group 10 region is awesome. And rugby league supporters in those areas have really taken to the Panthers. There are Penrith jerseys everywhere when you get to Bathurst. Now, because Penrith is currently without a home ground, the club is happy to take a second game away, that being to Mudgee this year and last, where it used to be Manly Warringah hosting games in that beautiful spot once a year. Games would sometimes tie in with a big race meeting that weekend as well. But what happens when the Panthers return to its new home ground next year? We'll find out, I guess, when we speak with their CEO, Matt Cameron, on the weekend. But I'm pleading with the NRL and the clubs, and I feel like we've been doing this for 20 years, to have more forward thinking. Regional Rugby League needs the support of NRL clubs. And it's gone from being a regular part of the calendar to just about dead and buried. We'll be, again, the only radio station at Glen Willow Stadium in Mudgee, as always, and I'm really proud of that. But it's such a shame and a waste to think that in the very near future, regional venues will be completely ignored. Your thoughts are welcome on this. 1300 361 700 is the number to ring, or text me on 0467 920 222. I love the fact that Wagga Wagga gets to host the NRLW's Magic Round this Saturday and Sunday. The Queensland Cup Round on the weekend, that was played at all different regional areas, and that's terrific as well. At least it's paying some sort of homage to regional rugby league. And look, I do get why season ticket holders want home games to be, well, at home. Others may enjoy planning a trip to Mudgee or Wagga or Bathurst or Dubbo once a year. But is it important the NRL continues to send games to regional areas in New South Wales or Queensland or anywhere else? Does it not really matter? 1300 361 700 is the open line number, or text 0467 920 222.
Got something on your mind?
Call Andrew now on 1300 361 700.
This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
On the text line, 0467 920 222. Evening, Maury. Love the show and your commentary on games. The Dragons' performance absolutely woeful yesterday. Gutho's 250th game and Dean Young's first as permanent coach. A huge step back from our past 6 weeks. Unacceptable. What happened? Huge job for Dean Young ahead. From Park Dragon at Albion Park. Yeah, I get it. I was listening to the call with Brett Sprigg, Dean Halitau, Michael Carrianis. We had no vision of it from Brookvale Oval where we were. But I thought Gold Coast would beat St George Illawarra. They just looked like a better team to me than the Dragons. But to get lapped by 20 at one of your home games, I mean, goodness gracious, against the team that's second last. So I didn't see it. I can't really comment on the performance other than to say that from what you're telling me, Park Dragon, that it had to be that bad. It really sounds like it was. Hi, Maury. Wanted to get your thoughts on two Rabbitohs. Firstly, what are your thoughts on Ashton Ward's progress as half? Secondly, do you think Peter Marmazelis has been hard done by being dropped by Wayne? That's from Con. On Ashton Ward, I love watching him play now. I think he has progressed really well. There's a calmness about Ashton Ward, and he's kind of come from nowhere this year. But I think he's progressing beautifully as the number seven for South Sydney. Good kicking game. Picks when to run really well. I like him. Peter Marmazelis, I like him. I like him as part of the squad. But Brandon Smith is going to be the first choice hooker when he's fit. They've tried Bronson Garlick there as well. So, I think Peter Marmazelis is very, very good coming off the bench, Con. Andrew, do you think my Dragons' new signings next year are going to help the Big Red V? I can't see it happening. They've just got nothing. Craig from Foster, thank you, Craig. They've got nothing this year, that's for sure. They've got a very ordinary squad, and we're seeing that in the results. But next year, I do think they have to at least challenge for the top eight when you consider the players they've got. Keon Kolomatangi will be great in the middle for them when you consider their young forwards like the Couchman brothers and Hamish Stewart and Dylan Egan. I think he will add great value to them. I think Connor Watson will as well. Whether he starts at lock or comes off the bench in his 1 year at St George Illawarra before he heads to the PNG Chiefs. Philip Sami will add some stability out wide, and Scott Drinkwater at fullback. Now, I love Clint Gutherson, but Drinkwater will be much more of a threat than Gutho. Gutho's too slow these days to be an NRL fullback. And Scott Drinkwater, he's either a match winner, or slightly less than great. But I think those signings are excellent for the Dragons next year. And we'll put it this way, Craig, I'd be much more confident in the next 12 months to 2 years about if I was a Dragons fan than if I was a West Tigers fan. Adrian says, good evening, Andrew. My first thought from yesterday being the fastest, NRLW, Jamie Chapman, NRL, Matt Bowen. Oh, that was our first thought yesterday. Up the Cows, yahoo, from a very pleasant winter's evening. Thank you, Adrian. Yeah, the Cowboys are going really, really well. There were plenty of people involved in NRLW who wanted to tell you before the season kicked off, that is, that without doubt it is a two-horse race, Brisbane and the Sydney Roosters. Four rounds into the season, the Broncos and Roosters are the only unbeaten teams. Brisbane accounted for Newcastle 30 points to 12, while last night the Sydney Roosters absolutely pumped the West Tigers 48 to 10 at Leichhardt. On Magic Round coming up next Saturday and Sunday with all games in Wagga Wagga. On Saturday at 11:35 a.m, Cronulla Sutherland, fresh from its first win of the season, plays the Tigers. Then at 1:25, St George Illawarra has to face up to the might of the Roosters. And at 3:15, Canberra against winless North Queensland. You'd expect the Raiders too to have plenty of support in Wagga. Three games down there on Sunday as well, 11:35 a.m, Canterbury Bankstown. After winning its first game of the year against the Dragons, they play Brisbane. 1:25, the Warriors face Gold Coast. The Titans are playing some really, really good footy at the moment. And from 3:15, the last game is Parramatta winless against Newcastle. No broadcast from us this weekend because the games are in Wagga Wagga, but Around the Grounds updates regularly with Bridget Murphy at the ground. Blake Brayley next at 13 to 7.
From kickoff to full time. This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Well, we were at Brookvale Oval yesterday as Cronulla Sutherland put on a clinic. They thrashed Manly Warringah at Brookie 48 points to 12. They've actually now won five in a row at Brookvale. It used to be a place Cronulla couldn't win for love nor money. And so many pleasing performances from Sharks players, and they're on this roll at the moment. They're firmly entrenched in the top four. Let's talk about it with their captain, Blake Brayley, New South Wales State of Origin star as well. He's on the line. G'day, Blake. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks. How are you?
Mate, you guys are in such a good vein of form. I remember, you know, talking to you or Fitzy or some of the other players, I reckon for 3 years, saying that I know you're a good side, but it's very hard to work out what sort of a side you are. Now, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. You're playing great footy. Is this as good as you guys have played in 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I think it is. I think every year we talk about consistency and, you know, backing up good performances. And I feel like in previous years we've played well, and then the next week we get disappointed and we let each other down. But certainly this year we spoke about that, and the main focus has been not letting, you know, the teammate beside you down. And I think the boys are doing an outstanding job at the moment.
There just seems to be a sharpness watching you guys play, a speed to everything, both sides of the ball. It seems very different to even 2 months ago. Very noticeable to watch. And I'm sure you guys are now just fitting into a really good groove. And the winning habit's obviously a very good one.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, momentum's a real thing in rugby league. And we definitely got a lot of that at the moment. We're training really well. Everyone's happy to turn up and work hard, you know, throughout the week. And it's obviously shown with our performances. And I think we've all spoken about that. You know, this could possibly be our last chance together as a group. And I think we're just really enjoying the time we're spending with each other. And we're making those hard training days, those, you know, hard games all worth it. And yeah, I think it's been a great, you know, motivating factor for this year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how big a factor that is, because we've been hearing about that really since before the season even kicked off, and it's kind of a long time to maintain that rage. But as we move along, all of a sudden players are signing elsewhere if they haven't been re-signed by the Sharks. So it is becoming a reality. This is it for this playing group.
Yeah, it almost feels like that. Obviously, a lot of players are moving on after this year, and we've been together for, you know, a lot of years now, coming up to almost our fifth year as a core group. And, yeah, we're really making sure we make those training days count. And I know for myself personally, it's tough to see, you know, sort of those players like Sifa Talakai, Sione Katoa, Cam Guinnesson. They all sort of leave when we're, you know, really been building something together as a group for a long time. And I know for myself, I want to leave a lasting impression on them and do everything I can to send those blokes off with a high.
Well, one player who thinks staying, William Kennedy, he's always been a really gifted player, as you well know, but have you ever seen him as consistently good as he is at the moment?
Yeah, honestly, I think he's always played consistent. I know back in 2021, he won our Player of the Year and he was by far the best player at the Sharks. And for like every year, he's in and around, you know, our top three, top four performers every week. And it's great to see him working hard on his game and producing some great performances. I think outside of our four walls, he's probably, you know, probably underrated in rugby league. But to us, he's rated so highly, all the stuff he does off the ball, with the ball as well. We don't take that for, you know, he's just an outstanding player and an outstanding person. And I'm so glad he's staying on the Sharks. He's a massive part of our squad.
We're chatting with Cronulla Sutherland captain Blake Brayley after yesterday's 48-10 win over 48-12 win over Manly here on NRL Monday. Another player that's worthy of a shout-out, it's always seemed to me, Blake, this year anyway, that Braden Trindle's been outstanding. It almost seemed like he was starting to run the show and doing that with great confidence in the halves. But Nicho Hynes may have played his best game since his Dally M award in his first year at Cronulla yesterday. The way he took on the line, the frequency of it and the effectiveness of it, it just seems that this pair has found a mojo together that we haven't quite seen before, at least on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I feel like they're working so hard at their game. You know, they're the first one on the field and both of them the last one to leave. So obviously showing with the performance we've been having that it's no fluke that they've been playing so well together. I think they complement so well. When Nicho's running and Tricky's putting it a metre off the opposition try line, it's great for our squad. And I think people underestimate how big Nicho is. He's 6 foot one, two. He's a big body and he's hard to tackle when he runs. So it's great to see him have that confidence to take on the line, to run the ball a lot because he is such a big run threat. And I feel like they're working so well together at the moment. It's making our side a hell of a lot better.
Not to mention the fact how comforting it must be that you know 4 points equals six every time. His goal kicking is unbelievable. 26 in a row.
Yeah, he's working really hard on it. You know, most days he's out there kicking goals from different spots, and Freddie Michalak's come on board and he's had a good, you know, sort of new voice and new opinions to our group. And he's working so hard, and it's great to see that once you do score, you can kick it from anywhere at the moment.
Blake, you finally got your crack at Origin this year, which was great, and part of a series win, you playing in games 1 and 3, both games New South Wales won, by the way. That must have been such a welcome experience. Did it live up to your expectations?
Yeah, it was. It was. I've been dreaming of that moment for a long time and kept working really hard, hoping that day would come. And for Laurie to give me the opportunity and show his trust in me, that was everything. And the game, both games were everything I expected. Such, you know, high pressure. The atmosphere was so intense, and it was everything I dreamt of, and to be able to be a part of that and to put on the blue jersey was a dream come true, and I'm so glad we could win a decider in Suncorp. Because
I ask you, I thought I'd lost you there, but we've got you. I was going to ask you about the fact you missed game two at the MCG because you had a broken arm. Are you a freak? You spent, 18 minutes on the sideline? You were back in no time.
Yeah, I feel like that. I have a great support network around me and an amazing surgeon to get me back on the field as soon as possible. And, I always had that goal to be back in 2 weeks. And, it was funny. I had no pain. I was passing the football 5 days after surgery. So,
didn't you put it back in place yourself?
Yeah, I did. The adrenaline does funny things in rugby league, and I was just trying to do whatever it took to be back on the field and not let the team down. So if that meant pushing my broken arm back into place, I was willing to do it.
Okay. Look, I love you as a player anyway, but fair dinkum, that is next level stuff. everyone tells me, I've worked with Luke Lewis, and he talks about a lot, and all the former players, whether they have experienced Origin or been around players who have experienced Origin, that they come back into club camp better for the experience, better players, harder trainers, more driven, all of that sort of thing. And they all say it's quite noticeable. How has that affected you as you come back to lead Cronulla?
Yeah, I think it's been massive inclusion for not only myself, but Adam and Brittany Cora to have that Origin experience. I know I could speak for them in saying, you know, the professionalism and the preparation you sort of witness from the best players in the world is really, you know, inspiring and motivating to take that into club land. And, you know, I've said it over and over again, but watching Nathan Cleary go about his business, that's another level. And it's really pushed me to, you know, take that on to my club land.
Oh, Mozzie's disappeared down your throat or something. See, nothing can floor you except for a moustache and a dry throat. And just finally then, Blake, Sunday, you've got another big game. They don't stop at this time of the year, which is great. You've got South Sydney at home at Shark Park. It should be, I'm sure it will be, a sellout. And the Rabbitohs kind of desperate. This is the sort of game that you're going to get every week now, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. They're a top eight side, and they have a lot of players out, but they've got some outstanding players in. So we want to build that consistency like I was talking about, and hope they can string some more games together, because finals are right around the corner, and we don't want to miss an opportunity to get better and to play better and build that momentum into the final series.
Mate, go have a gargle. Much appreciative of your time, Blake. And really, Cronulla, so fun to watch at the moment. May it continue. Good luck the rest of the way.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Who's hot?
And on the back of speaking to Blake Braley, I want to say the entire Cronulla Sutherland team, but I'm going to be a little more specific. Halfback Nico Hines, I thought his first half of the year was only ordinary, but he and Braden Trindle have really found their mojo together. And even though Manly's defence was very paper thin yesterday, it was great to see him take on the line so frequently and so effectively. I think one of his best games for Cronulla. So terrific that Nico Hines, he is hot.
Who's under the pump?
That has to be the worst sound effect I've ever heard. Benji Marshall and the West Tigers. There is more and more noise that players are not enjoying playing for Benji. He has to be the one to get things right on the field. The whole club has become such a farce again. I feel like we're saying this every week at the moment. And they have to show some spirit on Sunday afternoon. They're up against another team struggling to get wins on the board in Parramatta. But you know what Parramatta does that the West Tigers have not been doing? They have a dig. The Tigers put their toes up. Parramatta does not. So if they don't show some spirit on Sunday afternoon, we can just replay this spray again next Monday. On the text line, 0467 920 222. Andrew, love your game calls and this show. I'm a massive long-time fan of the Parramatta Eels. Used to go to Cumberland Oval. Wow, that was great. But it's by the by. Thankful for Western Sydney Stadium. My best mate forever is a huge Tigers supporter. Originally from Canberra, worked in Sydney and Southwest Asia and eventually settled in Hobart. He loves his team and club and travels to at least six Tigers games across all the venues. These are the type of people that bleed and feel the pain. Yeah, well said. And that is exactly the type of fan that we feel sorry for, most definitely. Andrew, it'd be interesting to hear Connor Watson's view on the Adam Dewey debacle. Seeing Connor can play many positions, says Paul from Wagga. Andrew, they need to bring round games to the country, not just token pre-season games. Was it a great venue watching finals and lamenting that
the Hague Advocacy Group for the blind and low vision.
NRL. Thank you, Adam. Nice to hear from you. I look forward to the story at 7 o'clock. G'day, Andrew. As a long-time Tigers supporter since the glory days of the 80s, I totally agree. They are pathetic and hopeless, not just the last 5 weeks, but the last 10 years. Keep them coming, please. 0467 920 222. I'm Andrew Moore. This is NRL Monday and the great Ruan Sims. She's just been reading some material to get fired up for this show. She'll join us straight out of the news at 7 o'clock, which is right now. Adam Story, he jumped the gun. He's that excited. But we've got news coming up next.
Your complete NRL wrap. This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Yes, welcome to the second half of NRL Monday, the start of a new working week, and a reminder that your evening's program is only half an hour away, and then nightlife. If you have just tuned in, I'm Andrew Moore, and every Monday night between 6.30 and 7.30, we wrap the weekend. We look ahead to the next round, and I get joined for the second half of the show every week by a co-host, and tonight, very shortly, it'll be the one and only Ruan Sims. Now, in the first half of the show, I spoke with Cronulla Sutherland captain Blake Brayley, and he says their current form is as good or better than it has been at any time over the past few years.
Yeah, I think it is. I think every year we talk about consistency and, you know, backing up good performances. And I feel like in previous years we've played well, and then the next week we get disappointed and we let each other down. But certainly this year we spoke about that, and the main focus has been not letting, you know, the teammate beside you down. And I think the boys are doing an outstanding job at the moment.
Yeah, that was Blake Brayley. Your text messages remain welcome on 0467 920222. I've got a truckload of them. I'll get to them very shortly with Ruan Sims, who is a dual international, being a Wallaroo and a Jillaroo. In fact, captain the Jillaroos to a World Cup win, a trailblazer for women in rugby league, a multimedia star, a firefighter who saves lives, and up until tonight, a fashionista. Welcome back, Ru. How are you going?
Thank you very much. I think I may have gone a little early with my fashion because I feel like I'm quite boring tonight. Like, you didn't even know
you
I was here.
I know. I couldn't see you.
Because I wasn't wearing some kind of giant cat outfit.
Well, I think, to be fair, having worked with you on Thursday night, you've promised the world and delivered an atlas.
Yeah, I don't even think it's an atlas. I think it's just the app on your phone, to be honest. It's not even 3D, it's just 2D.
You look cosy.
Yeah, look, it was a bit chilly for me. I was feeling a little bit lethargic, so I felt like a warm hug as opposed to eye-catching, stopping
red
traffic.
Red carpet stuff, was last time. Yeah. Okay, all right, well, fair enough. It's evened it out a little bit. Look, just while Blake Brayley's fresh in the memory, Ru, how good are the Sharks going?
Oh, killing it. Yeah. Absolutely killing it. And, yeah, it's not a surprise that the Spine are the ones that are playing the best footy as well. And that's exactly what you need. And, you know, I heard you guys talking about Nico and Braden, and I just think it's like they have really complemented each other very well, and they've each played their part throughout the year, and then now they're both firing at the same time, and that's really exciting.
Because that's not what they've had in the past. But now they are a great well-oiled machine, those two together.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there's always, when you have two really good halves, there's always one that's going to be the leader and one that's going to be one Batman and one Robin. There's all what you can't both be Batman at the same time, but they're managing to both be Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Send out the signal. I love it. I'm here for it.
Tell your friends.
But it's a shark. It's a shark symbol.
I'm Batman.
And it's in the, maybe not the sky, but the water.
This has got real weird real quick. The Sharks NRLW team, speaking of weird, they had their first win. And I'm all about Jada Taylor, especially now she does a bit of work with us. But she had the ultimate mixed day. I don't think I've ever seen a try bomb quite like that. But very, very good defensively. So mixed day. But for a highly fancy team, and I appreciate your loyalty to them, it's taken them a while.
It certainly has. And I tipped the Raiders this week.
Well, Canberra had been going really
Canberra's been going so well. Maybe I just need to tip against them every week so that they get the W. But, yeah, I think they finally found some form, which is good. Their middles were actually going forward. I saw a lot of lateral movement, a lot of trying to ball play.
They should be a really dominant pack.
Going forward. And you know, they've got to think priority one, take on the middle first and then work off the back of that.
Now, we've spoken about this and you have vehemently argued against it, but four rounds in, are you worried that it's Roosters Brisbane or bust?
I'm not concerned by it. I think Brisbane got pushed on the weekend by the Knights. It's just the Knights couldn't go with them for the full 70 minutes. And then we saw last week, obviously, the Raiders pushed, not last week, but the week before, Raiders pushed the Roosters. And look, they're the two most dominant sides, I've said that, but that's because they've got a really good depth of roster. But, yeah, I still feel like the Knights can do some damage. I feel like the Raiders can do some damage.
I love the Titans.
And the Titans. Mm. Now, they had a tough outing in round one against the Roosters, but that was, they had all brand new combinations. They're getting some time together. Tegan Levi, to me, is the best sevens convert that we have.
She's great.
She has picked up rugby league. She's like a duck to water. It seems so natural for her. And I feel like the Titans are going to be really pushing both those sides come finals.
Well, they've got
they still have to play Brisbane yet as
well. Yeah, but they've got a decent forward pack. They've got Lauren Brown. Yep. Love Lauren Brown.
Yep.
She's such a great
Jamie
number
Chapman's
seven.
Jamie Chapman's on fire
she
as well.
She is on fire.
Laker Clark through the middle. She's an unsung hero. She's playing beautifully. Sienna Lafipo at lock as well through the middle. She brings a lot of ball playing along with her hard running. I think they've got a really well-balanced side. And Karen Murphy's making some really good calls as coach, moving Ivania Isako to that left edge back row position. I think it suits her game. Mm. It's absolutely fantastic. And that also then allows Lauren Brown to be a bit more creative and takes a little bit of pressure off her. So a month into the season,
Roo, you've watched every game. What are your comments on the standard that you've seen so far?
Yeah, the standard's been really good. You know, there was a lot of criticism early on about errors. But because I like to listen to the criticism and then I like to challenge test it. Mm-hmm. So I went and had a look. And for the first of the opening couple of rounds, each game was averaging 11.2 errors a game for the women. The men, first couple of rounds, 12.7. So you can run at me if you like.
Is this a la-da-di-da-da moment?
I got the facts. I got receipts.
Yeah.
So I think that it's been fantastic and it's only going to get better, obviously, as the competition grows. We get even more talented players coming through the pathway systems. Yeah, it's awesome.
And Magic Round this weekend at Wagga Wagga. I've just done a whole spiel about playing footy in regional areas. So it's great that it's going to Wagga Wagga. Last year it was in Newcastle.
Yeah.
So Wagga Wagga this time round. I say this with no preconception. Is it a good time in the schedule? Is it a good idea they're playing it in Wagga Wagga? What's the general feeling about NRLW Magic Round?
Yeah, I think Magic Round, it's a wonderful concept, and especially having all of the games in the one area, I think that's fantastic. Wagga Wagga is a long way away for me, personally, but that's why I felt Newcastle was quite a good one because it was still quite accessible.
So are you going to be in Wagga Wagga?
No. We'll stay in Sydney. We're sending sideline eyes out there. Mm-hmm. To brave the elements. But, Wagga Wagga, I think also the idea is probably looking at taking it to some regional areas and getting a lot more attention there. There's also going to be running some invitational stuff that's happening there, is looking for some talent around the area. So those kinds of things are really good. But they're going to need to make sure that, you know, they have a lot of that activation stuff happening around the game, which I know that they do.
Now, before we move on, I've got this text here. Evening, Maureen Roo. Question for Roo. What are your thoughts on the NRLW Dragon so far? The last 2 weeks, definitely disappointing, and they just look way off the pace. Too many errors, and now they face one of the big two in the Roosters in Wagga on Saturday. And, yes, agree with your comment on the Maldi Mulhall injury too. I also felt ill watching it. Hope she's okay. And it's not an ACL from Park Dragon.
Yeah, I haven't got an update from Maddie just yet, but I actually text her after that. I don't know her, but I met her parents in Magic Round last year, actually, in Newcastle, and they were wonderful. So I got her number and just made sure that she was all right. And, you know, they had concerns for an MCL, but obviously the mechanism of injury, it is concern for MCL and ACL, but she's getting scans today, so we'll see how she goes with that. But, yeah, the Dragons, they had struggled. I feel like they had done some good recruitment in the off-season, getting a bit of experience
in.
I think Brooke Anderson has been good. You know, Hannah Southwell playing lock has been good for them. But they just haven't been able to keep it tight and stay focused on task.
I was at Stadium Australia on Saturday, Roo, and they were good in the first half against Canterbury and then just fell away.
And that hurts you, especially at the back. I thought Shanice Zolka, it's the best game I've seen for her play in the Red V so far this year. So I think it will come, but I think they also need to make sure that they're giving Casey Ray plenty of opportunity because as a half, I don't know about this week, but last week she made 35 tackles. So she's having to do that much work in defence. Mm. You don't have as much in the tank when it comes to attack, unless you're a freak like Taryn Aiken. So that's something that I think they really need to make sure that they get right. But it's a tough spot for the Red V at the moment, but stay firm. There's some really great positives and good youth and talent coming through the system.
That's Ruan Sims. I'm Andrew Moore. This is NRL Monday. Now, just put your NRL hat on again, Roo. West Tigers, what have you made of their last 24 hours, their last few days, their last few weeks, their last few years?
Oh, it's been so disappointing. I think it's the best way to describe it. I mean, the way, and we were discussing this off air, I mean, there's more holes than a sieve at times with information that comes out. And I think when you're having closed door discussions or locker room discussions, things like that, stuff shouldn't be making its way to the media like as quickly as it is, if at all, because a lot of that stuff should be behind closed doors and you should deal with it in-house, because everybody's going to have clashes of personalities and everyone's going to have blow-ups and that sort of stuff. But you work through it because you're all adults and you can get the job done at the end of the day because you're there for a purpose. You're there with the team in mind and the club in mind and winning football games and doing it well. So, I think it's just been really disappointing from a West Tigers fans' perspective to see things like that happening. And yeah, it was just everything that we'd heard over the last 4 or 5 days, and then we get an update today saying that
21 seconds.
Yeah, and that's it.
But there, at least there's a lot of talk about behind closed doors.
Yeah. So I hope that that conversation stays in there and doesn't make its way out, because if that does, I think there were only 4 people or 5 people in that room.
But surely the only way that this will ever die down is if Benji Marshall and Adam Dewey are good again, if they sit and face the media together. Yep.
Well, I think firstly they have to sit and face the team together.
Yeah.
And the team have to understand what's happening and what's happened, and the team have to make their decision and see if they're okay with that and if they're going to move forward or if there's going to be grudges held. Like, there's so much misinformation coming out and there's so much, this and that, he said, this. Yeah, it's just, it's a mess.
See, Roo, I think of someone like Jake Avarillo, who's a very good player with the Dolphins. He signed with the West Tigers, and at the time that he was considering and agreed to play, things were looking so encouraging for them. A really good start to the year, great crowds and crowd participation and feel-good story of the year, or one of them in the first half. Now he's watching this debacle from afar. He must be going, what am I doing?
Yeah, you'd be concerned if this is what you're joining. And this is why the club and all the players and the staff, they all need to band together and start singing from the same song sheet. There can't be this dislocation of intentions, and this, they can't have this disrupted view of it. They really need to come together as a group and sort it out face to face and just get it done at the end of the day.
Now, in your comfy / cuddly clothes today, have you got your wallet for buying and selling?
I've got your wallet.
Oh, you do too. Oh, is that why the moths are flying out?
Well, there was dust. I don't know what else was in there.
We'll get to, you don't want to look. We'll get to that very shortly. Only a few nights away from kicking off the 22nd round of the NRL season. On Thursday night at Townsville Stadium, North Queensland plays the Sydney Roosters. That's 8th against 2nd, and you'll hear it from 7 on ABC Listen with Quentin Hull, Grant Bell and Laurie Spina. Then on Friday night, coverage from 5:30 on ABC Listen. Well, at 6 o'clock on local radio, St George Illawarra plays the Dolphins at Wollongong Stadium, last playing 5th. Can't wait to drive down to Wollongong with Luke Lewis and John Gibbs.
Are you driving in the one car?
No. Oh, definitely not.
That's the way you said it. That's what was happening.
Yeah, no. Just love driving down there. The 8 o'clock game is at Amy Park with Melbourne playing Canterbury Bankstown. Both teams sitting outside the top 8 with the Bulldogs looking that they may be headed for the finals, much more so than the Storm. Ned Hall will be joined on the call by Ryan Hoffman and Ian Cohen. Can't wait to head to beautiful Mudgee on Saturday and hopefully catch up with the great Ken Sutcliffe. Hello, Kenny, if you're listening, look forward to seeing you. Matt Elliott and Michael Carianis will join me for the pregame show at 2 o'clock. Then at 3 p.m. off to Robina Stadium as Gold Coast plays the Warriors with Brett Sprigg, Clinton Schafowski and Karina Brown. We'll call the game at Mudgee from 5:30. Top of the table, Penrith playing Canberra. The Panthers are not in peak form right now, and the Raiders have all of a sudden been great over the last month, winning 4 in a row. At 7:30 on Saturday, it's the Brisbane Broncos against a Newcastle Knights team that appears to be on the slide with narrow loss after narrow loss and those horrible injuries to key players. That game's at Lang Park. Cue to call that with Billy Moore and Zane Bojack. And on to Sunday, the pre-game show from from midday with myself, Louie and Gibbsy from Western Sydney Stadium. At 2 o'clock, Cronulla Sutherland play South at Shark Park. Spriggy will be there with Dean Halitau. And then we'll call the newsworthy West Tigers against Parramatta from 4 o'clock. Coverage until 6:30. And we'll have Bridget Murphy all weekend in Wagga Wagga, keeping us up to date with the NRLW Magic Round as part of our Around the Grounds coverage. 19 minutes past 7. It is time for buying and selling.
Are you buying or selling?
Now, see, last time you were in here in your leopard suit,
Yeah.
You look like you're ready for extravagance. I'll buy anything.
Yeah. I was flashing the cash too.
You were.
Yeah.
This time, especially with my wallet, you don't have much of a choice. You look much more in conservative mode.
Yeah.
That's about right. Okay.
Keep it tight.
Here we go, Roo. Are you buying or selling? Cronulla is currently the greatest threat to Penrith's premiership aspirations.
Ooh. Buying.
You are flashing the cash.
Yeah.
So where
I'm
would
being
you...
contrary on purpose, I think.
Where...
Because even as you. I was, even as I said, yeah, I'm buying, I'm thinking, Roosters, Dolphins.
So
can
I could
push.
Have said, are you buying Penrith's not going to win another game all year or next year? You would have gone with it.
No, I would have said no.
So how would you rate them? So to me, there's five teams that can win the comp, being the top four, Penrith, Roosters, Warriors, Cronulla, and I still think the Dolphins at their best.
Yep.
But they've conceded 50 twice, so that's unlikely to happen. How would you seed the chances of in terms of premiership favouritism?
Well, going from that, about 20% chance?
No, I'm
one of five.
Roo. See, bring back my weapons, kid.
I've gone back into my shell.
So 1 to 5, how would you rate them?
Is one the best?
Yes.
Okay.
When is it not?
Well, just, you know, 5 is the highest number.
It is 2, okay. Point taken, but you're wrong. 1. One being who's going to win the premiership. And just bear in mind, I'm off at 7:30. So.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, wow.
I feel
would
like,
you like me to
I
get
feel
back
like Penrith,
to you?
Yeah, maybe. I feel like Penrith are probably still going to get the job done at the end of the year.
So Penrith
won. But I feel like the Sharks will really push them.
So Penrith won.
Yeah.
Sharks.
Okay. Penrith.
Was I speaking Swahili?
Yeah, a little bit.
Right.
Penrith.
Yes.
I'm going to go 2 Sharks.
Okay.
3 Roosters.
Mm-hmm.
4 Dolphins.
Ooh, and the Warriors.
Yeah, 5 Warriors.
Okay. Thank you for that. That didn't take long at
Welcome.
All. Welcome. Are you buying or selling Ruan Sims? Jerome Luai should be dropped from the Tigers team to work towards pairings for next year. Amazing how many Tigers fans want that to happen.
I know. Selling, because he's still got something to offer this team. He really does. So, yeah, I'm not buying that.
Of teams currently outside the top 8,
yep.
Canterbury Bankstown is... this is one of these questions. This could take you an hour. Of teams currently outside the top 8, Canterbury Bankstown is the most likely to be playing finals footy. Are you buying or selling that?
Selling.
Are you?
Yep.
So who would you be buying then?
I reckon Manly could push for it. I know they're in a slump. They're in a slump.
They're now, how many points are they outside the 8? 4?
Yeah.
You still think there's 6 rounds to go?
I like to live dangerously.
Okay. I think you're just being contrary again here.
Maybe.
Are you buying that one of the Broncos or Roosters will go through the NRLW season unbeaten?
Selling.
Selling?
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Okay. So do you think both teams, obviously one's going to beat it when they play each other?
Yes, yep.
And the other team will suffer a loss to somebody?
Yes.
Are you saying that with confidence?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like the Titans may cause a little upset later in the year.
Okay, like it. And finally, Ruan Sims, are you buying or selling Canberra halfback Ethan Sanders is the NRL Rookie of the Year? And I'll give you some other names because that's just hitting you without notice. Ahead of Cooper Clark, Oliver Pascoe, Setu Tu, Zane Harrison, or anyone else?
Yeah, buying.
Ethan Sanders?
Yeah.
His last 3 weeks, I reckon, have been like all the hard work has now come to fruition.
Yeah, which we knew was going to happen. I think we spoke about this in the first couple of rounds on one of our long Saturdays.
Yes, I think we did too. But we had a chat with Ricky Stewart because he'd kind of gone all Ricky Stewart in a press conference a few weeks ago.
Oh, well, he was protecting his players.
Yeah, I know. I loved it. No, we had him on and we were having a laugh about it, about the fact that it's been a rocky road, as you'd expect for a rookie, but are you now like seeing the...
fruits of your labour.
All the fruits of the labour. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it also helps when your forwards are back.
Yes.
It does.
And like, this is the thing. Everyone says, makes fun of me defending the forwards, but your forwards determine whether you win or lose the game. Your backs determine by how much. If your forwards aren't winning the middle, your halves are doing nothing.
Mm.
So, yeah, it does help when you've got your big boppers back.
We spoke to him on our NRL Sunday show yesterday. What a great young man. And terrific to talk to, and he's obviously loving life at the moment. And the Raiders, they're going better than Manly, but
yeah.
you hate them and you don't rate them. Any chance of making the eight? That's what I got from what you said earlier.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
You're wrong. Okay. But that's all right.
On the text line, zero.
Anything for clickbait.
It's coming up in a moment. Yeah, because I really care about clickbait. Coming up in a moment.
That's how you got your points up to 5.3% of the shares for a Monday night show. I read.
Where did you read that?
I read it in a column.
Did you?
I did last week. Well, congratulations, by the way. That's good. Up from 3.3 or something. That's a good bump.
You know much better than I do. Well, that's because you've been on a few times recently.
It was my outfit.
Do you know
what? Catsuit.
I reckon, well, it was a visual thing. It would have been 25%. It's 26 past. We've got to get moving. 26 past seven. We've got the director's cut. This is our producer, Ralph Tucker, who comes up with his highlight from the weekend, or one of them. I never know what it is, so let's find out.
The director's cut.
Hey, MC1, what's doing?
Oh, not much, MC2. Just working on my tax-free football team.
Tax-free, you say, MC1? Do you need a second-rate journo with a level 2 coaching accreditation?
Oh, no, MC2. I already have one of them.
Oh, okay, well, got any gossip, MC1?
Not really, but would you like me to make some stuff up for you, MC2?
Don't worry, MC1. I can make stuff up myself. Been doing it for years.
Carianus and Chamus can both be heard on air. Carianus and Chamus, a doppelganger pair. Carianus and Chamus, one's good and one's a pest. Everybody knows which of the MCs is the best.
Good call, Ralphie. That was Dennis Carnahan's, or a portion of Dennis Carnahan's Song of the Week, which had a whole new element there with character voices.
Carianus loves it when you get him mixed up with Shamus as well.
Hence the song. But, yeah, MC2, Carianus, MC1, Michael Chamus. There's only one good one and one pest, and we know how that plays out. Oh, that was fantastic. That was Dennis's best, I reckon. 0467 920 222, NRL Monday with Andrew Moore and Ruan Sims. G'day, Andrew. Had a great Sunday listening to you guys and playing rugby league commentary bingo. I managed to get imaginary try, precipice, mocker. He hit his melon, got spiders on him, playing out of his skin. He's like granite, champagne rugby league, an absolute drubbing, and obviously the finale of game set bingo. I'm just disappointed there wasn't any rainbow bum. Hey, Diddle Diddle, or Jonty's friend Jeff. Great call as always. Thank you, Milo. Mate, you spend way too long listening to us on the weekends. And I think Rainbow Bum did get a run in relation to Luke Lewis. Tigers are gone. So sad. I'll read that one off air, Dave, from Cairns. I appreciate you very much what you're suggesting. Sharkies are seriously building and will be damaging in September. As a group, they know they've been building but can't stay together, and this is the last chance as this group. After that, they'll split up. Not their fault. It's bonding them, and aside from that, more importantly, they play good footy. This makes them dangerous. They are a smoky and will go really well and deep into the finals from Paul at Ultimo down the corridor. Yeah, you are, Paul. Agree with everything else, especially Rue, with a love heart.
He saw the receipts.
Many of which you've written out yourself, I've got to say.
They're handwritten notes, but they're real.
So your week is going to be busy?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Most definitely, well, but worth it.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's always good to see you.
You should have me earlier so we can ramble longer.
Yeah, well, if the show started up as 4 or something, we could go nuts. That's Ruan Sims. Thank you to the team, Tommy Demon, and our production studio with our producer, Ralph Tucker, and Jared Ryan. Thank you, Jared, our socials guru, and Damien Kelly for being here for logistic support. I'm Andrew Moore. Thank you for listening. The Evening Show comes up next.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.